And during this Thanksgiving sermon, the reason why I was appointed to share the sermon was because God has given me a special grace. And during the previous Israel conference, the other four associate pastors and the evangelist were given a chance to lead the sermons. And how we picked those slots was by picking lot. We prayed for it, and we picked lot to see who will be in charge of leading what worship. And every one of those worships were filled with the blessings and the grace of God. And this time as well, as we were preparing for the Thanksgiving service, I suggested using lots again, to pick lots to see who will be preaching and who will be leading praise and all that. Because God worked so powerfully during the previous season. Because we don't have a lot of pastors that did not preach yet. And it would be up to us to decide who is going to preach out of those who haven't preached yet. But I suggested that we would pick a lot with all the names in the basket, not just the people that didn't preach yet. But I picked my own name. Also, my name was picked out of all that. So I guess this was the will of God. So aren't you excited to see what will come out of me? And since we picked Lot, since we picked Lot, I know that this was the calling of God and not just my own thoughts. And as we continued to intercede, God gave me this heart, especially about fellowship. And this time, we thought Pastor Kim was going to preach from Galatians. And Pastor Hagen actually told all the NSIP kids to memorize Galatians before going to the conference, and suddenly Pastor Kim preached from 1 John. So we heard from 1 John, and I was very thankful because going through this time of so many ministries, so many conferences, through this book, the Lord allowed us to see that what we must focus on in this season is to have fellowship with the Trinity. And through this conference, the Lord has opened up all the doors and the gates of that fellowship, and He has allowed us to face Him and change our direction to Him if it was somewhere else. And I think that was a great blessing of the Lord, this conference. And then the reason why I was reminded of Psalm 139 is because if you look at Psalm 139, you can see the confession of David. And you can see David asking, Lord, how do you have so many thoughts about me? How can you know when I'm sitting down, when I'm standing with you? And you know that God is omnipotent and He is omniscient. But think about this in the perspective of David. How did David know that God was always thinking about David? Which means whenever God thought about David, I'm pretty sure David was also thinking about God. And that's why he knew how much the Lord was focused and interested in him. That's why he realized this even in the Old Testament. God always thinks about us. He's always close to us. We understand that in the New Testament because we have the Bible and we have the Holy Spirit confirming that within us. But how did David know? It's because he had fellowship with God. And he was thinking of God as much as God was thinking about him. And I hope that we can receive that fellowship as well through this book. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added to you. And it's been a while since I preached. And the last time that I preached, I manifested a lot of grace and blessings, so it was a little burdensome to follow that up. It was during the Africa Thanksgiving service, and I only preached for 5 minutes then. And never once did I receive so many compliments from the people saying, oh, I was so blessed by your sermon. And today, I don't think I'll be able to finish it in 5 minutes, but let's see how the Lord brings us. But verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added to you. And that kingdom, our church has been running endlessly in this marathon, preparing for his kingdom to finally come. Even before this year, we've been going through countless overseas ministries to Africa, to Israel. And this year, we have all these consecutive conferences, starting from the youth camp to the domestic youth camp, to the pastor's conference, Chuseok conference. We also have Dominica conference, U.S. conference, and Africa conferences coming up. And we even have conferences coming up next year. In January, there's the Rome, Italy conference. And then a little bit later, we're going to have the General Assembly in March. And we have been running endlessly in this race. And even though it feels like the year is concluding pretty soon, it does not mean our race or ministry is ending pretty soon. And Pastor Kim always says, don't think that you're going to live relaxed and comfortable in this life. You can relax after you're dead. And Pastor Kim says he will rest, but we must continue to be vigilant. Those who go to the conferences to minister will also, you know, be pulling and be relying on the kingdom of God. But those of us who stay behind and come out to intercessions in the middle of the night are also being a part of the kingdom of God. And that was the time that we have spent recently. And going through that time, the thing that I saw was, it's written here, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we are filled with a new self, this is how the word comes to us. That's right, we don't have to worry. God is here with us. We can see the grace of God that supports us with all the grace that we need. But when we fall out of the state of the new self, sometimes this message feels a little burdensome. But first, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we devote ourselves endlessly in this endless sea of ministries, intercessions, memorizing the Bible, healing, and conferences, in the midst of all that, the word of God for us is, seek his kingdom. So the question that may come out of us is, how long do we have to seek that kingdom? How much more do we have to seek that kingdom? Sometimes it feels like this message is saying, especially when you're not filled by the Holy Spirit, it will say, work endlessly until you die. Every time we go to Israel, we say, we have to save Israel. Every time we think about what's happening in Korea, we pray to fight for this nation and save this nation. And it kind of feels like a train. In order to make the train run, the engine run, you need to put in endless amount of coals and fuel into the fire, right? And sometimes when we are busy putting in the fuel, we feel like, don't we have to stop a little bit and evaluate ourselves, to check up on ourselves, to repair anything that needs repairing? And all these thoughts, of course, come to me when I'm not filled by the Holy Spirit. But in that state, how can we first seek his kingdom and his righteousness? And I just wanted to share the heart that God has given me during this previous conference to seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. It's true that we are devoting ourselves and sacrificing ourselves for his kingdom. But the reason why it says to seek his kingdom first is because his kingdom is his sovereignty. Just be under his sovereignty, be under his righteousness, his will. Means to have fellowship with God. It is to live with God. So in the midst of that fellowship, to live under his sovereignty, under his will, is the first step that we should take, is what this verse is saying. So if we look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, can see. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So, what is God saying? When you work hard, when you live under my sovereignty, I will take care of you. I will give you what you should eat. I will give you what you should wear. I will take care of your whole being. And God is not just saying this is compensation for your work, but he's saying this is how precious you are in my eyes. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Even the birds in the sky, they do not farm their own food. They do not produce their own food or try to take care of themselves like that. How much more do you think you are cherished in the eyes of the Father? Verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Which means we don't have anything to be concerned about. As long as he's with us, we don't have to worry. Verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Even Solomon, living in that luxurious and fancy temple, and the fancy clothing that he wore, is not good enough to be compared with the beauty of a lily, which was created by God. And speaking about how much better the things of his kingdom is compared to the physical things of this world. And God is, again, not talking about his compensation for your work. This is not a reward that we receive after working better, harder, and spending more time. God is speaking again about how he will be responsible for us, not because of what we do, but because who we are as a being. Even our salvation, even our eternal life, even our eternal rest, all of that was decided as soon as he died on the cross. And he went in to do the ministry in a heavenly sanctuary. And not only did he bless us with all those things, he has made us into the same nature as himself. And he's giving us the same glory, the same inheritance, and all the things that come from the kingdom of God to us. Why does God do this for us? Why? Why? It's because we are his children. Since we are his children and his heirs, God is endlessly accountable and responsible for us. And this is why we must have fellowship with God. God is saying, you are my child. I will give you all of my abundance and all the things that I have. The only thing that I want from you is to come out before me. Come out to my throne. Come and encounter me. Meet me. This is how you seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Why do we have to go through so many conferences, so many sacrifices, so many devotions and intercessions? And sometimes we get fatigued and tired from doing all these ministries. But when I look back on myself, through all that time, if I live in a state where I'm just a clog in this machine of the church, then of course I will get tired and fatigued. But the Lord is saying, no longer can you live in that sort of system. In this new season, in this season, you have to see so many, you need to see and realize how many people around the world need you, need your hands, need your ministry. So we cannot live and manage this ministry, this load with our own systems. We can no longer manage the remnant ministry if we do so. So for us to live by the system means to live by religion, live by Babylon, live by ourselves instead of living by the Holy Spirit. And so upon me and upon this community, what the Lord is speaking to us is, come out to me. I want to speak with you. I want to have fellowship with you. This is what he wants from us. So, David fought endless wars. He fought so many wars, and he felt so many betrayals. He was exiled. He was chased. But through all that, the Lord acknowledged him, and he called David a man after his own heart. And if David was complaining all the time, saying, "Why is this happening to me? The Lord doesn't love me," then he would not be acknowledged as a man after his own heart. But even in the midst of those difficulties and persecutions, David continued to long after the Lord. Let us return to Psalm 139. So this fellowship between David and God. What is the heart that God wants us to see? Let us learn that from Psalm 139. Verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. And we have heard very often from Psalm 139, so we're familiar with this. We know that God continues to search David. He watches over David, and that's why he knows him. God does not say to us he knows us because of his omniscience. He says he has searched us. He has watched over us. In all of our time, in all of our moments, the Lord approaches us. And that's why he knows us. Just as when a parent has a child, the parent knows the child likes, what the child does not like. The parent knows when this child feels comfort and when it feels uncomfort. Why? Because this parent spends a lot of time watching the child to learn about his likes and dislikes. When I had my first child, it was just kind of amazing to have a child. But when I had her, I realized how dynamic her expressions are. When I look at her expressions, I can tell, oh, when she's mad, she looks like this. When she's happy, she looks like this. When she's happy, she looks like this. And it's very... She had a lot of different expressions. And so I took photos of all of her expressions. And I labeled them, this is joy, this is sadness, this is anger. And I showed other people all these different expressions. But they will always say, they all look the same to me. But in my eyes, they were all different. I could tell the subtle differences. And this is how the Lord has searched us. And is searching us. God is not sitting far away from our universe. Even though we may be smaller than a speck of dust in this universe, if God was not focused on us, if God was not searching us all the time, then he would easily lose us in the vastness of this universe. Likewise, when I had my first child, I can see the subtle differences in all of her expressions because I was interested in her. I was focused on her. But when I look at other children, I will not know that because I'm not that interested or focused on them. The reason why God knows us, the reason why God knows us in detail, in precision, is because he watches over us. And it says God calls his flock by their name. And he does not label sheep 1, sheep 2, sheep 3, or Yeorbang Church member 1, Yeorbang Church member 2. He remembers us by name, and he calls us by our name. I have four children. I have four names to memorize, but sometimes I get confused. When I call Joy, I'll be like, oh, Nathan, oh, Sirki. And then I'll finally call her name after saying it four times. But God remembers each one of us by name, and he never mistakes us. And that is the perspective of God. But what is the perspective of David? How did David know that God knows him? How did he feel this? How did he come to this knowledge? And I'm sure it's the same for David. When David was living with God, in his relationship with God, he was watching the reaction of God whenever he did something. Oh, when I do this, he's pleased. When I do this, he reacts like that. Because he's experiencing that all the time, he knew God knows him too. And the only example that I can come up with, though it is limited, I have four children. For example, Sirki, my first daughter, she loves spicy food like tteokbokki and maratang. And she likes fried chicken, but she only likes dark meat, the juicy meat. And Nathan, he does not like spicy food. He only likes fried chicken, the regular. And Joya likes black bean noodles. And when he eats chicken, he likes the sprinkled chicken, the cheese sprinkled chicken. And then Joya likes stews and soup. And in the case of chicken, she likes cheese sprinkled chicken as well. But she likes the skin, the fried skin. And when it comes to my wife, and I know my wife very well as well, my wife likes fresh orange juice and other fruits. And when she's stressed, she has to have samgyeopsal, which is Korean barbecue. And even though she likes pork belly, she does not like to eat the fat of the pork belly. And when it comes to chicken, she likes, she likes the fried chicken with sauce. So you can tell how much thought I put into ordering chicken. So since everybody has different preferences, I would order chicken with like where half the menu is one flavor and half the menu is other flavor. So I will mix it so that everybody has a flavor that they want. And when it comes to me, I like to eat anything. So it doesn't really matter what flavor I like. So I remember their preferences and I prepare the meal according to their taste. And my children will see that and realize, oh, my father knows me. My father cares for me. Likewise, David was looking at the reaction of God in every moment. And he realized, oh, God is searching me. God is watching over me. God knows what I like and what I don't like. He was very keen to looking at the reactions of God and the responses of God. So David was always aware of God. And he learned who God was through those interactions. And through the book of 1 John in this conference, Pastor Kim unraveled the mysteries about having a fellowship with the Trinity. And that is to have a personal relationship with all personalities of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. God the Spirit. We can feel the love of God through that relationship. We can see how Jesus is just like us in nature. And the more we experience the dynamicism of the Trinity, the more we become closer with Him in our relationship. So to David, David was experiencing the God that approaches him and watches over him. And he knew for a fact that whenever he cried out to God, God would answer his prayers. So it didn't matter how urgent the time was. David knew God would answer his prayers. He experienced it and he knew of it. So David was acknowledged in the heart of God, right? Do you know when God acknowledged him? Do you know where in the Bible it comes out? When God said, oh, David is truly a man after my own heart. Was it after David prepared all the preparations for building his temple after conquering all the lands? No. God acknowledged him even before he became a king, when he was out on the field tending to his animals, his herd. To be a shepherd, and he was not even the eldest child of his family. He was smaller than a speck of dust. But yet David longed after the Lord, and that's why he was acknowledged by God at that young age. Because David was experiencing the Lord at that young age. So it does not matter if we are young. Because of our beings, God answers all of our prayers. I think it was during the previous Israel conference. A lot of important prophecies were proclaimed during the conference in Israel. And he did a lot of important ministries and Pastor Kim was receiving the schedule from God about the upcoming times. And in my heart, I just prayed, Father, I want to eat jimbang, steamed buns. And that night, the snack that came out of the intercession was steamed buns. And the next day, I said, Lord, I kind of crave corn. And guess what the snack was for that intercession? That was corn. Even while his amazing revelations and prophecies were being unraveled in Israel, God was listening to my tiny little prayer about what I wanted, what I was craving. So David was experiencing this. So, and we need to interpret the message of Psalm 139 through the perspective of David. This is why I'm sharing about it. On the other hand, if we live according to Babylon, we may have this thought. Does God really search me? Does God really know me? Is he interested in me? We may have these thoughts. But before that, we need to look at one thing. That is, am I able to sense when God is approaching me? David was always experiencing God who approaches him. He knew when God was there with him and when he was not. To know God's presence, like Pastor Kim said in this conference, this is a spiritual sense that you acquire when you maintain the state of the new self. What is a sense? Sense is not something that we can create by effort. It is just a natural reaction in your body or your spirit. Previously, Sister Yumi was leading intercession. She called herself a genius. She used to be a numerical genius. When she looked at numbers, and that number is just saved as an image in her mind, in her brain. So she had a very easy time memorizing nameplates and phone numbers and anything regarding numbers. But what I realized through revelation in that moment was this is what sense is. And it's because we have lived in Babylon that all those spiritual senses that God has given us have died. To know God, to do spiritual discernment, to know the heart of God, to know of his emotions, to have the righteous anger to engage in spiritual warfare is not something that we can acquire. It is not a skill or a knowledge that we can acquire through effort. But if we just live spiritually, if we remain spiritually pure, then it comes out of us naturally because it is a spiritual sense. And what I realized in this conference was, how does this sense come alive? How do these senses come alive? These senses come alive when we choose to live by the new self. This is the reason why we have to choose to live by the old new self and not the old self. It's because it allows us to go into a deeper relationship with God. And the deeper we go into it, the easier it becomes for us to maintain the state of the new self. And in the state of the new self, we continue to experience the Lord. We can sense his encounter. We can sense him approaching. So as we maintain the state of the new self, I'm sure our spiritual senses will come alive. And conversely, if we continue to live in the old self, if we live by the lusts of our fleshly desires, then we will no longer have these spiritual senses. We won't know when God is approaching us. But you know that God is always watching over us. He's very focused on us. He knows of our thoughts. But in the state of the old self, you don't have those spiritual senses to sense the Lord, so you feel like God is not interested in you, that he knows nothing about you, that he won't come to help you. Verse 2, you know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. And to sit down could mean he's at the state of peace, or it could be in the state of despair. But David is saying, God is always there. He's always discerning my thoughts whenever I'm up or whenever I'm down. So why is this important? It's because since he knows about our situation, he has the answer to all of our problems. So in the perspective of David when he was being chased, when he was in a dangerous situation, or when he was at peace as well. How was David able to know that God was discerning his thoughts in the midst of all those situations? How did he know that God was also empathizing with his difficulties and tough situations? It's because in every moment, David was seeking after God. David was praying to God, "Lord, help me, help me. The enemy is coming after me. They're chasing me." And whenever he cried out to God, he saw the Lord answering his prayers. That's why David knew instinctively that God was discerning his thoughts and watching over him. That's why he confessed, "Though I may walk through the valley of shadow and death, God is going to answer his prayers." Because he felt it, he experienced it. Not long ago, I came back from holding MB in Africa, right? It was my first time becoming a leader of MB. So it was new territory for me. I did not know how to manage the budget. I did not know about all the administrative things that I need to go through in order to make this happen. So I asked everything I was curious about from Pastor Lee, because he has a lot of experiences in these matters. So I asked, "What should I do about this? What should I do about that? How should I gather people? How should I talk with the people? How should I make announcements?" But thankfully, Pastor Lee taught me everything very, very informatively. And even while I was over there, I would report everything to Pastor Lee because I was relying on him. And of course, I asked Pastor Lee in order to learn of the things that I did not know. But there was another reason why I went to him. It's because when I asked Pastor Lee, I knew that the responsibility does not fall on me anymore. It falls on him. So if Pastor Kim comes and say, "Why did you do it like this?" I will say, "Pastor Lee told me to do so." Now David knew that reality. In every difficulty, in every situation, he always asked after God. "Lord, I need you. Lord, I need your help. Tell me what to do." Then who is responsible for the outcome? It is God, right? That's why in every moment, David would lift up his questions to God. And though David had to go through countless wars and countless battles, the reason why David was not burdened in the end was because he was not responsible for the outcome or the results. He left it to God. Now Babylon. Now let's look at Babylon. When we live in Babylon, when we live in the old self, we need to be burdened. We need to be responsible. And since we are burdened and responsible, we get tired and fatigued. And Mrs. Kim said before, many times, the reason why we feel tired is because we regard these issues as our personal issues and affairs. Let's say I sinned. Then I'm the problem. I made a mistake. It's because of my hurts and wounds, right? My problem. It is my problem. And how far does this thought go? We say, "Oh, I'm unworthy as a being. I'm not good enough. I'm not chosen." But no, this is not my issue. Because Jesus is responsible for my sins, right? He took it upon himself to die on the cross for my sins. So my hurts, my wounds, he is responsible for it as well. So when you trust it to God, he will take it away. Do not think about it as your own problem and your own fault. The reason why you're tired and exhausted is because you held on to it. If you're burdened, if you're pressured, it does not matter what problem it is, your family issues, your business issues, it doesn't matter. If you're focused on those issues itself, then you're basically saying, "God does not watch over me as I sit down or as I rise up. I'm not asking him about anything. I'm not seeking his help," which means my connection with him is cut off and I'm not having fellowship with God. David confessed that the Lord is his shepherd. The reason why David was able to go out into unknown territories was because he knew that his shepherd is leading him. But in the situation where we're living under the pressure of Babylon, being burdened by our mistakes and our responsibilities, we're not led by anybody but ourselves, and that's why we're tired. And think about how terrifying it is to walk in the midst of that darkness. You discern my thoughts from afar. Especially in the time of the Old Testament, God probably felt very far away from earth to the people. And David was not a being that could come before the Lord by himself. Even when he was a shepherd, and even when he is the king of Israel, as a being, he cannot come and behold the great glory of the King of Kings, right? But David said, God can know my thoughts from far away, which basically means he's not far away. And why isn't he far away? It's true that David cannot come before God by himself, but it does not mean God will not come to David. Even though God is seated on the throne, he endlessly leaves that throne to come and have fellowship with David. And we know that spatially wise, God is not far away, but he is in our heart. And though sometimes we feel disconnected from God, it does not mean God has stopped searching us. And the most important thing to remember is God does not want to be apart from us. He's not pleased when he's apart from his children. And that's why in Ephesians, it says, though you were far away before, you have been brought close through the blood of Jesus. That's what he did for us, because he wants to be with us. Even in the Old Testament, even though God may seem far away from Israel, he was leading Israel personally by the pillar of fire and the pillar of clouds in the wilderness. And that did not satisfy him enough. So that's why he sent his own son, so that we can become co-heirs with Christ. And he made us into his own sanctuary, so that he may reside within us. That's how close he wants to be with us. In Genesis, Abraham, after having his son Ishmael, for like over a decade, he did not seek the Lord because he was filled with so much joy taking care of his son. But who came to seek Abraham first? It was God, right? God came to Abraham and said, become righteous before me. God waited for Abraham for 13 years. And he's saying to Abraham, I cannot wait any longer. I cannot stand this time apart from you. Even though Abraham was fine living without God for 13 years. And this is why Jesus endured the pain of having our sins being transferred to him. He endured that pain because the pain of being apart from us is stronger. He's not pleased. He's not happy about being apart from us. And so David was like that. The King of Kings, the ruler of this universe, continues to approach me, who is so insignificant in this world. That he experienced that over and over again. Just like for us, when we call Abba Father, we immediately feel his presence. David was also experiencing the fullness of God whenever he called upon the Father. And since David knew how close God was, he had no intentions of hiding his heart. And there was a freedom in that, being completely honest with God. And when I told somebody that I was going to be preaching from Psalm 139, he said, oh, the message about God the stalker, right? Because it says God knows all of our thoughts. But this is the case. Think about it. Let's say you're going on a trip. Let's say you just got married and you're going on a trip with your in-laws and you need to use the same room as them. Do you think that trip will be fun or not? Do you think that trip will be fun, or your trip with your best friend will be fun? God, so even though you may feel like God is like watching over you, watching every one of your thoughts, and you feel like this that is very uncomfortable, and it feels like your in-laws watching over you. But no, when we're truly honest before the Lord, when we open up ourselves to Him, that's when we experience true freedom, because we have no secrets with God. God was always David's best friend. To David, living his life was like living with his best friend, going on the best trips. It's not like the trip with the in-laws where you need to act well, to look good, to earn points from your in-laws. But Babylon is not like this. In Babylon, God is always 5,000 light years away. He's a God that is not disinterested in me, does not know my heart. And they say God is not interested in those who don't do excellent. That's why we always have to hide ourselves from God, and we feel like we need to do better. And because we cannot meet our own expectations, we feel tragic. We feel insignificant. But you don't feel like that before Pastor Kim, right? You feel free to act however before him, right? He says he enjoys going on trips with his in-laws. So at that point, you can say you're living well spiritually. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. In the end, the Lord knows every one of my deeds. And what's important here is he's acquainted with all of my ways. So this means God does not just know us like occasionally when he's watching over us, and when he's not, he doesn't know. He's well acquainted with us because he's always watching over us. To David, God was not a stranger or a relative that he meets occasionally, but he was the best. He was his best friend. He was his protector. He was the God that was always there with him whenever he cried out to him. And when you are close with somebody, you don't necessarily need to put into words, and you can just know what that person is thinking about. And my daughter Sirgi, she does not like to eat chicken. The legs of a chicken. And I was wondering to myself, why doesn't she like chicken drumstick? Even though she likes dark meat, she does not like to eat the leg of the chicken. And one thing that God reminded me was, many years ago I preached saying, why did God only create two legs on a chicken? Because there's only two legs in the chicken. When I give it to my children, I don't have anything to eat. And I'm not sure if that's the reason why she stopped eating chicken legs. But when I see her right now not preferring chicken legs, it kind of feels like she's saying, Dad, you have it. But if this was not a relationship between a father and a daughter, then who would know about it? And nowadays, I just eat the chicken leg because I'm thankful for her heart for me. And this is the case with all parents, right? If they are feeding their children fish, then usually they give all the meat to the children, and the parents only eat the little bits of meat that are in the tail or in the head, right? And all that is done out of love. It's not forced. And today I was feasting with Pastor Kim because I was the main speaker. And even while eating, Chuman was eating a lot, but Pastor Kim kept giving Chuman more food, saying, eat this, eat that. And seeing that, I was missing my father as well. But that's the heart of the father, right? It doesn't have to be put into words. You just know what your children want, and you want to satisfy their hearts. And after you live with those who you love, it would just be inscribed into your deeds and your actions. You just naturally care for them. So many years ago, when I was fired from being a translator of this church, I was going through a time of difficulty. But one day, Pastor Kim suddenly said, I want to invite your family to eat somewhere. There used to be a barbecue house right in front of the church. He said, we're going to go there. I'm going to buy you some food. And he asked, what do you want to order from the menu? And Pastor Kim, after looking at the menu, said, let's have pork. And after the meal, I thought about this. And I couldn't think about a reason why he would want to buy me a meal or buy my family a meal. And I still don't know what his intentions were, but I interpreted it as the love of the father, my spiritual father in this church. And one day I shared during the pastor's meeting about how I was very thankful for the love of Mrs. Kim. And she thought about it and she said, I've never really loved you that like set apart from others, like that uniquely, but thank you for interpreting it that way. But this is just my faith. I have chosen to receive the love of my parents, my leaders, you know, in this kind of way. So let's go back to David. David was saying, Lord, I love you. I want to build your temple with my hands. There was a special relationship between David and God that we cannot understand. And even when God said, no, you will not be the ones to build my temple, that was understood because they had that special relationship. It's the same for Peter, right? When Jesus came to Peter again and said, do you love me? When he asked Peter three times, do you love me? Think about what Peter was feeling. Peter knew immediately that Jesus wanted to mend that broken relationship of theirs. Likewise, David knew that God was well acquainted with him and with all of his ways. But what happens when we live by Babylon? We confine God into his temple. And we enjoy just meeting God occasionally. We come to the temple when we want to see God, and we leave him there when we come out of that presence. And in that kind of lifestyle, you cannot maintain any connections. You cannot maintain any fellowship with the Lord. And that's why you always feel lonely and isolated and by yourself. And of course, your life will be meaningless and unfruitful and not fun at all. If you live with the Creator God, you can only imagine how abundant, how bountiful, and how amazing that life is going to be. Because God, there's nothing impossible in God. And whenever we go on vacations as pastors, it's only fun when Pastor Kim comes with us. And we don't really get time off like that as well. But when I go just with the associate pastors, the best we can do is ride our bikes and have ramen. But when we go with Pastor Kim, the scale at which we relax is much different. The food that we have is different. And all that. Likewise, when we live with God, he brings us to his level. He's not confined to our limitations. When I prepared for the sermon, I was hoping to see people crying out of a desire for that relationship, that intimate relationship with the Lord. But I guess that's not the way that things are going. But let's continue. Mm. Verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. God knows of everything that God knows me because I express to him. But even without words, he understands me. There are things that we can express with our words, but there are things within us that we even cannot comprehend. There are things that are inexpressible. But even those things God sees. Not only does he knows about our conscience, but he knows about the things within our unconscious as well, and he's experiencing us in that matter. Same for David. David in his life, even though everything was pitch black, he was in the midst of darkness, there were times like that in his life, right? But even in that pitch blackness, darkness, David sensed how God was approaching him in a way that he was able to comprehend. Whether he was aware of it or not, and even in the midst of darkness, God was coming to David. And David knew about that. He was aware of it. And when I was meditating this, I was reminded of the story of Helen Keller. Helen Keller had three disabilities. She couldn't hear, she couldn't see, she couldn't speak. She had these three disabilities. But Sullivan, the teacher came and she became her eyes, her ears, and her mouth. So, Helen Keller was able to experience the world through her teacher. But, let's say Helen Keller just pushed away her teacher. Then she would not be able to escape her own prison of darkness. But even though Helen Keller pushed her away at first, the teacher continued to come and provoke her, continued to come and to find her and persuade her. Even though she couldn't hear, she couldn't speak, or she couldn't even see. But later on, she knew of that familiar touch, and she was able to experience many things that she couldn't have experienced before through her teacher. So likewise, even if we're walking in the midst of darkness, even when we can't see anything, hear anything, or even speak anything, God will stretch his arm into that darkness and hold and grab our hand to help us to escape that darkness. He's the one that pierces through the darkness to come and save us. And he will become our ears, our eyes, and our mouths. Let us continue. Verse 5. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. This means God is surrounding us and embracing us. Likewise, God's presence was always upon David, protecting him. And David felt that. He felt the presence of God as if a child feels the embrace of their parents. And to lay his hand upon David means God was in charge of everything that was happening around David. So, no matter what the situation was, David knew that God's presence was always surrounding him. He lived with that recognition. So, it didn't matter if it was in battle or in peace. He did not lose the presence of God. And Pastor Kim always says this, right? He says he cannot do anything without the presence of God. But because David felt the presence of God, he always had a sanctuary. He always had a shelter to run to when things were tough. Likewise, since David was always sensing the presence of God, the Lord would continue to stretch out his hand to help David. And since David cherished the presence of God, he gave it his all to maintaining that presence. He regarded it more precious than his own life to remain in his presence. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. This knowledge is the state of knowing God. For David, who lived in the Old Testament, this relationship with God probably felt like a dream to him. He probably thought, how is this possible? How is it possible to have such an intimate and close relationship with God? How is it possible that the Creator was always searching me, watching over me, focused on me? How is this possible? It feels like a dream. But that dream was always present throughout the life of David. Why is it high? The reason why it is high and unattainable is because it is outside of the reach of David. Without God approaching us first, we cannot go and find him first. But for us, we can only be curious to why he decided to approach us. Why does he come and watch over me? Why is he interested in me? David could not understand that, probably. Same for us, right? Why does God approach us? Why does he want to know us? Why does he want to maintain a relationship with us? Even though he's coming to us constantly, it's because we cannot sense him. We are limited in ourselves. He came upon this land as a man to die for us. How is this not amazing? What does he want from us then? It's for us to stand before him. He's approaching us, right? He's approaching us all the time, constantly. Just like the waves of the ocean. Can you push a button and make the waves stop and then make it come again? No, waves come in endlessly. Likewise, the love of God comes to us. He is always approaching us. It does not matter what state we are in. All you need to do is accept his encounter. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion is, I want to have fellowship with God like this. I want to make confessions like David. I want to say, oh Lord, I cannot count your thoughts for me. Why? Because the thoughts of God continue to come to David like waves. Why can't we sense him though? It is because of the tendencies of the world, of the tendencies of the old self. If we continue to live by the sinful desires of Habakkuk or the desires of our flesh, then our spiritual senses will be numb. We cannot allow our eyes to become automatic doors to receive the lust of the world. In your relationship with your children, if your interaction with them is cut off, then it's going to be unbearable, right? And so even though you love your child so much, no matter what you say to them, it feels like you offend one another and you fight with one another. And that is the work of the Antichrist, isn't it? The work of the Antichrist is they create divisions between people who should love. We cannot live without fellowship. So the matter of the old self and the new self is not a matter of just picking the new self because it seems better. When you live by the new self, the doors of fellowship is open to you. When you live by the new self, you can receive and welcome the Lord that comes to you. You can sense his thoughts for you from afar. You can experience him coming to you and pouring his presence upon you. There's nothing more precious and more inspiring to think that the creator of this universe is thinking about you. That sensation is far beyond what you can gain from watching a video on your cell phone. But when you continue to choose to lust after the world through your perception, through your eyes, then you will never be able to sense the greatness of him who approaches you. We're living in a generation and a season where it should be impossible for us to live while maintaining the state of the old self. And we have been very busy with all these ministries, and we will be busy in the future as well. We're going to end soon, so musicians, please come out. In the midst of all that, if you think, oh, I got to take care of myself first, it's time for me. And I understand that because we are so tired. But through David's relationship with God, what we realize is we are not the ones who should take care of ourselves. We shouldn't comfort ourselves, know ourselves, or care for ourselves. What is the only option left then? The only option is to die. When you choose to die, the one who makes you live is God. When you give up yourself, give up knowing yourself, the one that allows you to know yourself is God, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. If you first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, then he will be the one who takes care of you. The beginning of having a relationship with God is to deny ourselves, to kill ourselves. God does not say endure, survive in those difficult situations. How can we? How can we endure this painful life? That's why it's not right to endure. We should just die. Just deny ourselves, sacrifice ourselves. Unless we have fellowship with the Lord in this way, we can no longer operate by the system of this church. So surely the gates of fellowship must be open to all of us. In the midst of all these busy conferences and ministries, God came to me and said, "How is your heart?" "Aren't you hurt?" he asked me. And I didn't know. I didn't know I was in pain. But God was interested in my heart. He was seeing what was within my heart. He knew what was in my heart. So let us pray. Lord, it is so. You know me well. But you are not the only one that comes to find me. You're not the only one that searches me. Lord, I want to become just as interested as you as well. As much as you think of me, as much as you search me, I want to search you and find you as well. Lord, help us not to live by the old self, by the lusts of our eyes, by the desires of our flesh anymore. In that state, we cannot hear you, we cannot listen to you, we cannot see you. But Lord, we want to step out of that darkness, not from the old self, but we want to live in the new self and open up a fellowship with you as well. So let us pray. Lord, in this moment, you are coming to us saying, "I want to know your heart. I want to be with you. I want to have fellowship with you. That's why I created you. It's nothing else. I want to be with you. I want to be with you forever. I want you to know my heart." So Lord, we want to open up our hearts to receive you. There was a lot of devotions, a lot of hard work, a lot of races that we have ran. But we want to once again rise and run with you, whether that be to a new ministry, a new direction, and all that. But what we want to run towards is ultimately you. We want to run to you, Lord. You have become our eyes, our ears, and our mouths in the midst of darkness. So Lord, would you once again stretch out your arms so we may hold on to you. Lord, it is so. Just as we have heard in the testimonies, this is a revival of the world. And the revival is coming upon the remnants of Korea. And when we hear that, We may be happy that we have raised up a glorious church in this nation, that we have remained as remnants, but we have to pray, "Lord, do not forsake us. Would you come closer to us? More than anything, we want to participate in this time with you." Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for helping us to finish the conference well. We thank you for bringing your victory upon this unified community. And Lord, you are opening up more great ministries in this important time and season. Would you help us to increase our portions and grow and mature in you as well? But because of our lack of growth, you have slowed the tempo of our growth. Lord, would you help us to reach the scale that you want us to reach? So that no matter where you send us and when you send us, we will be able to do that. Would you help us all to grow and mature? Would you increase the amount of grace upon us so that no matter where we go, we will not be affected by the impurities out there, but rather affect that land with our holiness instead? Would you build up your glorious church members and heal us of all the diseases and the sicknesses that may be present? And would you prepare a great victory for us in the upcoming Dominican and U.S. conferences? And prepare us so that no matter where we go, we will see your great works being unfolded and bring everything to your glory and abundance. help us to see the enemy being judged by their attacks against us in this season. Would you continue to pour your authorities upon us and allow us to be blessed so that our prayers will be answered more swiftly. Receive the offerings given today. Would you bless their hands? Would you watch over us and pour upon us so that we can share with others more? Lord, we know that we cannot do this by ourselves. But would you give us more abundance so that we may bring others to your abundance as well? So, and make it so that our hands and feet will bring abundance to all those we reach. Would you accept our worship and be pleased with it? Now, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, and the holy love of the Father, and the indwelling, comforting, fulfilling work of the Holy Spirit, be upon those who are reaching maturity for your kingdom in joy and by the system of grace. Be upon their beloved families, upon the vision of this church, upon all the missionaries that we have commissioned, upon Zoe Ministry and Nurbang Church. Be from now on till forevermore. Amen.